Welcome to Cider Chat. If you know of John Bunker, you're going to be really excited about this week's episode. And if you don't know John Bunker yet, well, you're in for a treat. He is best known as the Apple Whisperer, but there's so much more about this guy. He's an Apple detective, he's an author, he's an artist, and he is an aficionado of all things Apple and just shares his passion and joy. So we're going to be hearing a bit from his presentation from this past February on Grandma's Apple Orchard, the perfect orchard with only 12 trees. How did she do it? Hello, my name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world.
Hip, hip, hooray!
I am so absolutely delighted to share with you yet another presentation from John Bunker. He has been on Cider Chat a couple times now, and I'll put the links in the show notes to some of his past conversations. But this one is rather special because he's going to be kind of speaking from the heart and waxing eloquently. And, you know, he's one of those folks who just does that so well. So I'm going to get to that shortly. But first, of course, we want to hear a word from our sponsor. It's question number 12 for the Q&A with Fermentis. And once again, we're going to be hearing from Kevin Lane. And this week's question is all about the reasoning behind adding sulfites to fresh pressed apple juice before fermentation. Take it away, Kevin.
Hello, my name is Kevin Lane, and I'm the technical sales support manager for the Americas for Fermentis. Really, the reason why producers are adding sulfite pre-fermentation is to attempt to kill off all of the wild flora, or at least a lot of the wild flora that's already present from either from the apple skins or potentially from inside of the apple. These wild flora can be really interesting in terms of flavor profile and what they can give to the cider. However, usually they don't have a very high alcohol tolerance. Just some examples are Hansenia spora, sometimes referred to as Clocera, and Candida, both of which, I mean, could be interesting in theory, but both have generally a 1 to 2% alcohol tolerance, so they're not going to be able to carry out the full fermentation like what you'd be looking for when fermenting an apple must or an apple juice. And that's really why you're going to sulfite, is to remove that wild flora. Not that you have to, every time. Of course, you can produce different products, but to remove that natural flora so you don't have, number one, strange flavors and strange, wild, uncontrolled production of flavor and aromatics in your cider. And number two, so that you really have just the yeast that you intend to use as the fermentation machine.
For a commercial maker, adding sulfite to the fresh pressed apple juice, if they then want to add a cultured yeast, is probably a direction that they really want to go. And it is all about controlling the direction of your cider. I've definitely done it. It feels like every single way. I've done wild yeast. I've done sulfites and then added the cultured yeast. I've just added the cultured yeast without sulfites. And for me as a hobbyist, I kind of like that experience to see where the cider will go. But I know if I was doing this and this was my livelihood, I would really want to have some input and be working with the cider to bring it in a very specific direction. You know, the sky's the limit in cider, and that is the best part of it. So once again, if you want more info, just go to fermentis.com. In February, a new patron joined the Cider Chat Patreon page, and that's the folks at Alma Cider in Washington State. So that's the Pacific Northwest. And I was kind of holding back because I was scratching my head and saying, well, we just heard from Lee from Alma Cider Bar, and I was getting a little confused. And this Ciderville is what I talk about. Like, you know, the names that are out there can sometimes be very similar. These are two different and unique entities. We have Alma Cider Bar in Los Angeles and Alma Cider in Washington State. And evidently, they're cool with it. So that sounds good by me. Nothing like the camaraderie that happens in Ciderville. It's really, really awesome. So kudos to them both. And of course, Dave Klar of Alma Cider replied to my request to find out a bit about their journey in cider. So he wrote, "My interest in cider began a couple years after I moved to Western Washington State up in the Pacific Northwest in 2008. I was invited to an apple pressing party by one of my coworkers. My wife and I are both registered nurses." And I just want to take a pause here and really bow down and send my deep gratitude to you both for being registered nurses. I've worked with nurses my whole life in my other career, and there's just like, just phenomenal, phenomenal heart and soul people. He continues with, "It was fall, which was one of my favorite seasons. There were old people and young people, family and friends. We were all dressed in flannel. Kids were running around, their loud giggles echoing of merriment and fun throughout the property. The air was crisp and bright. Colorful fallen leaves lined the drive up with yellow and greens, browns and reds. I recall a fire going on in the fire pit and warm cider drinks spiced with cinnamon, orange, and clove, dashed with spirits. All the folks there brought whatever apple and palm fruit they had in their yards or their neighbors' yards or from fields with trees long abandoned and left derelict. We all lended a helping hand, whether it was to wash apples, cut the fruit, or crank on the old grinder for a while. The whole scene was quite communal. We tightened down the press, which was beautifully made of hardwood and ornate cast iron. The fresh juice that freely flowed out was amazing. In addition to a great time and wonderful memories, we all left with a jug or two of freshly pressed sweet dark liquids that was a mixture of all our efforts and what we all brought to the gathering. A friend suggested I add some yeast to my jug. I did as I was told and kind of forgot about it with an airlock on until the following spring. I racked the cider off the lees, and that was the very best cider I have ever made. Perhaps because of the diverse fruit profile, perhaps because of my fond recollection of the event, perhaps because it was absent of my intervention, I am not really sure why, but I have been chasing the dragon ever since." I love that, Dave. Oh, I can so relate. I'm sure everybody out there in Ciderville can too. He continues with, "This reflects my favorite style of cider, fruit forward and dry. I have made cider every year since that first time. A few years ago, I became friends with a local apple grower at Pleasant Ridge Farms in Laconia, Washington. I was fortunate enough that Dave and Gail there let me pick in their orchard, which is just a few miles from my home. The next year, we bought 2,000 pounds of fruit from them. It has been growing in volume ever since. I have been telling folks that I would like to grow apples and make cider, or wouldn't it be cool to have a vineyard? People laughed at me, but you're just a nurse, they would say. Aw. In order to gain some confidence in myself and by others, I enrolled in the Master's in Agricultural program at Washington State University. This should help my street cred, I thought. The university had an extension in the town where we live, and they have one of the biggest cider research programs in the U.S. I like learning about plants and growing stuff. I love being outside. I really like making cider. We started a commercial cidery in 2019. We are called Alma Cider and launched our first commercial release in March of 2020. We bought some property in 2019 and hope to install a cider orchard. I have been grafting trees each year, about 1,000 or so cider fruit trees per year. My hope is to fill up our field and to sell heirloom cider fruit to local cider makers in the region. We are currently making and selling cider to pay for our orchard dreams. We hope to continue to make small batch craft cider with the fruit that we can grow. I came across your show while researching cider stuff at the beginning of this commercial endeavor. Love your show." Oh, man, Dave, and I love your letter. It's just brought us right there to that experience of pressing the apples and bringing home a jug of cider. I mean, that is a camaraderie and the the communal aspect of cider that is part of our lineage, our connection to this amazing fruit. Kudos to you. I'm really stoked, and best of luck with Alma Cider. Keep us posted. Obviously, you know how to write very eloquently and informatively in between all your hard work as a registered nurse. And of course, thank you for your patronage to Cider Chat. It really means a lot and helps get the show out every week to listeners just like you around the world. It's time now for our featured presentation with John Bunker on Grandma's Apple Orchard, the perfect orchard with 12 apple trees. How did she do it? Now, I'd like to first give a tip of the glass to Palermo Library, who has been putting out a regular series with John Bunker, and I'm going to have a link in the show notes to that library. There, you can watch the full audio and video presentation of this Zoom recording. Do note that I took that recording and edited it down because the first 9 minutes or so was just blank space, and I did take out the Q&A at the end. So you still can go to the Palermo Library and watch it. You could also watch this edited version on the Cider Chat YouTube channel, where I just have this segment with John Bunker speaking on Grandma's Perfect Apple Orchard. And what I like to say about this presentation from John is it's poetic. Each little quote, what he's bringing to us, is something that you could just sit down and dream into and mull over. He's an author of two books. One is Not Far From the Tree, A Brief History of the Apples and Orchards of Palermo, Maine, from 1804 to 2004. And his recent book, I believe it came out in 2019, titled Apples and the Art of Detection. John is also an artist, and if you look at the cover of this book, Apples and the Art of Detection, he did that, and he did all the artwork in the book. I'll have links and his bio in the show notes for this year, episode 264. Once again, you can watch his full presentation on the Cider Chat YouTube channel, and he's an enjoyable person to watch because he gives you that kind of look that is just so John Bunker and is so endearing. And with that, I'm going to encourage you to grab a glass and join this chat with John Bunker on Grandma's Apple Orchard, the perfect orchard with 12 trees. How did she do it?
So welcome everybody. I'm glad to have you joining me here tonight at the Palermo Community Library. And I want to thank everybody at the library for helping to make this happen, especially Sharon Nichols. And thank you to all of you for coming tonight. And also thank you to all those who have taught me, guided me, explored with me, worked with me, shared with me, and joined with me over the years as I've done this work. So I'm going to start tonight with a quotation from Dostoevsky, the famous Russian novelist. And this is something that a friend sent me an article from the internet, and it had this quote in it by Dostoevsky from his journals or notes or something from 1876. So this is Dostoevsky. I'm not sure how all this will happen, but it will happen. There will be an orchard. Mark my words, though it be 100 years from now, humanity will be renewed in the orchard, and the orchard will restore it. That is the formula. While traveling throughout Maine's 16 counties, tracking down, identifying, and preserving old apple varieties, I've thought a lot about why we should go to all this effort. Aren't they just apples? Actually, no. I think they're far more than that. Throughout history, the orchard has been a place of myth and mystery, food and drink, hard work, frivolity, and yes, renewal. I think that the Maine orchard is the best place on earth. Now, not only did I have the good fortune, and still do, to rediscover many ancient old apple trees with their fruit of every size, shape, and color, but the dessert apples were rare. Nearly all apples were cooked or processed in one way or another. In fact, just today, my wife, Cammie, was cutting up apples to dry them above the wood stove. We have a sort of a netting on a rack, and we can slip it up between the rafters up in the ceiling in the kitchen. So the winter time is a perfect time to dry apples if you have a wood stove. I think dessert apples are actually sort of overrated anyway. I'd rather cook them. After all, if an apple a day keeps the doctor away, what about 10 apples or 20 apples? You can easily eat 4 or 5 apples sauced up with your oatmeal for breakfast. And that's, 9 in the morning. You still have several hours left to eat many more. I make applesauce almost every day. And I make just 4 or 5 apples. I would get them out of the root cellar, cut them up, put them in a little saucepan with a little water, put them on the stove, and they'll cook up quick. You don't need to make a big vat of applesauce. You don't need to can it. You don't need to freeze it. Just make it as you need it. When you eat a black Oxford or a Rolf or a Kavanaugh or a naked-limbed Greening, you're eating the same apple that someone ate 2 centuries ago. You can be standing here beside an old tree, and magically you're transported back to another time, still connected to the same place, the same tree, the same fruit. From that vantage point 200 years ago, you can then look forward to the present and on to the future. It's incredible. You can be at 2 places at once. Or is it one place in many different times? It's time traveling, right here in your own backyard. From this orchard, we can take the long view. We can have perspective. We can let go of what is not important and envision a new path to the future. Someone in the past, we'll never know, planted these old trees for us. Now, we get to use this gift while we're here. We'll mulch and mow and prune and pick, smell the flowers in May, lie in the shade in August, press cider and drink it with friends under the stars in January while we sing wassail songs, toast the trees, and remember how privileged we are to be here at this moment in time. So I look out for the rarest varieties and I graft young trees to keep them going for future generations. As I renew, I too will be renewed. Caring for the orchard is a big responsibility. Or is it an opportunity? Maybe responsibility and opportunity are just 2 sides of the same apple. Then someday, like the baton in a relay race, or the eternal torch in the Olympics, I'll pass our orchard on to someone new, someone I may never know. Maine's ancient apple trees are dying out. before long, they will all be gone. The last big push for all these interesting varieties, dozens of them, hundreds of them, was towards the end of the 19th century, about 150 years ago. The old trees live about 150, sometimes 200, but 150 is they're starting to, we're starting to lose a lot of them now. They're going. And with them, many of the old varieties and many of the old ways will also disappear. Or will they? But I'm too old to plant apple trees, you might say. I'll be dead before they bear any fruit. Where we place ourselves in the relay race is unimportant. It's a circle, after all. And a circle has no beginning and no end. Maybe we're the planter. Maybe we're the grafter. Maybe we're a steward along the way. Maybe those who planted and grafted this tree that I love so much died before ever getting to taste the fruit themselves. 2 days ago, several of us visited a bunch of ancient apple trees in Prospect, which is on the other side of Waldo County. It's in the northeast corner of Waldo County, and I'm in the southwest corner. It was great. We trucked around. We, of course, most of us were in separate cars, but anyway, we stopped at several places and met some old timers and saw some really fun ancient trees. And I couldn't help but wonder, did those who grafted and planted those trees ever get to taste the fruit? Maybe they knew they never would. Maybe they did this for us. Fortunately, some Mainers are planting apple trees again as they did long ago. In some locations, the small orchard is actually making a comeback. But we need more. We need lots of Mainers to plant orchards and put down deep roots in their own lives, to be there, to climb the trees, prune the branches, pick the fruit, grow communities. Here and there, Maine grade schools have even planted orchards on the school grounds. What if all children, beginning in kindergarten, spent a bit of time every day learning the basics of gardening and orcharding? What if they all graduated high school knowing how to stratify apple seeds, do a bark graft, prune trees? What if every child was fully capable of renovating a piece of land and growing a garden and an orchard if they wanted to? For the final exam of the year, we'd lay out unlabeled 30 Maine apple varieties on a table, and everyone would ID them and write a little essay about each with its history and its uses. Maybe a people who love to grow their own food and do it well is true food security. We have hundreds of thousands of acres of unused farmland. What are we waiting for? We teach our young people how to type on a keyboard and search on the internet. Let's also teach them how to type up a farm journal and search the landscape for the last of those ancient apple trees. Even home could become school again, as it was for so long. Graham, I decided to pick us a basket of St. Lawrence because, you know, the spice sweets really aren't ready yet. They need a few more days. Over 300 historic Maine apple varieties have been preserved at MOFCA's Maine Heritage Orchard up in Unity. More will follow. The 300 include the best apples for pies, the best ones for sauce, the best ones for molasses, and so on and so on and so on. Were it not for the efforts of MOFCA staff, volunteers, and folks all over the state, many of these varieties would be gone forever already. Many others are in danger of extinction. Now, some are making their long overdue comeback. As we rediscover the joys of committing to place, and as we create the agriculture for the 21st century, let's engage in a little time travel. Let's incorporate the best of the past and the best of the present to create an even better future. Grandmother's 12-tree orchard was once the heart and soul of every Maine farm. It will be again. The apples are longing to be planted in your yard. They want you to put down your roots with them here in your community now. When Dostoevsky wrote about the renewal in the orchard, he talked about 100 years. That 100 years is now. He, although none of us were alive, he knew that he was speaking to us now. He meant us. We are it. So if it all goes well, in 100 more years, your 12-tree orchard will still be putting out fruit, inspiring new generations across the state and beyond. Mark my words, though it be 100 years from now, humanity will be renewed in the orchard, and the orchard will restore it. That is the formula. In humanity's renewal, let the apple trees lead the way. Thank you.
Thank you, John Bunker. I just have so many quotes that I wrote down while I was listening to him yet again. One of those on, if an apple a day is good, how about 10 or 20? Or, I think dessert apples are overrated. I rather cook them. The guy is just awesome. And he had two websites that he recommended. And one is outonthelimbapples.com. And there you could kind of follow along what John is doing, find out about signwood, and so much more. And then also the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, and that is mofga.org. I'll put both in the show notes and so much more about John Bunker there for episode 264. And with that, I leave you here. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider. We like palms. We love orchards and having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like palms. We like orchards. Having some fun.
There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason.
We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes we do.
We love orchards. Having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Ba-da-da-dum. We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like orchards. Having some fun.
Yeehaw!